Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, knowledge of His will, not spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Understanding is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just like we were praying earlier, when Okemute was in the prayer, he said, that which you need, which you did not even know you needed, will come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As a fulfillment of God's answer to the prayer of His saints, He will supply all your needs, things you did not know you needed. A word will come to address that area in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. All right, let's get into our teaching again for today. All right, let's start from the book of Matthew chapter 5. We have been speaking about the true service of God. That's what we have been looking at for some time. We're still on it. We are going to, like I said when we started, I don't know how long we are going to be on this. There's so much. Each day I want to come a new light. I thought I knew a lot of things I was going to say, but when I want to step up, something new will come. And I know that God wants us to learn that. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Let's take that as our text of scripture for today. We know that for verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus, when He saw the crowds, He went up to the mountain. And after He sat down, His disciples came to Him, not the crowd. He saw the crowd. He moved away from the crowd to the mountains. And the disciples separated themselves from the crowd, and then they came to Him. And then He began to teach them. The Bible says in verse 2, He opened His mouth, and He began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn. I'm jumping now so as to save time to get to exactly where I want. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, those who are persecuted. You know, when He finished all of that blessed thing, you know, in verse 13 now said, you are the salt of the earth. This is my main text. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? He also said, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, He said, you are the light of the world, or the light bearers. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But what do? They put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. For that reason, He says, let your light shine before men so in such a way so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, that's the main text of the teaching that we have for today. Those two or three verses from verse 13 to verse 15. Well, okay, verse 16. Oh, sorry, quite a number of verses. So from verse 13 to verse 16, those four verses are the main verses we are going to use as our main text for today. Please let me just revise, as is my habit, so as to connect us to where we stopped before. We have been looking at the fact that there's a true service of God. And at this point, we are saying that it is not only those who are in ministry, the way we know ministry, that are serving God. But indeed, the people who are in ministry, they have a grace. Paul said, according to the grace given to me, I am saying to every one of you, this is how to handle your graces. Know that you shouldn't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Now, Paul was operating his own grace, and you see his grace was directing the grace of other people. What does that tell us? That tells us that the grace of the ministers is to stir up the grace that God has placed over every minister of the gospel. That is, those who preach the word. They are not the ministers alone, primarily. They are the people who stir up the grace that God has placed upon the lives of every one of His children. Which means, if a banker comes to me as a teacher of the word, and I teach, he or she should become better in banking. If an engineer comes to me as a teacher of the word, and I teach, he or she goes back and becomes a better engineer. If a mother comes to me and I teach, that mother becomes a better mother than she was before she came. If a wife comes to me and I teach, she becomes a better wife. A husband becomes a better husband. Now, it is being a good wife, being a good husband, being a good teacher, being a good engineer, that is actually the work of the ministry. That was all Paul said when he said that we are perfecting the saints for the work of ministry. And it's so important we understand that, that the kingdom of God is going to be established, not by preachers, but by everybody who's out there establishing the kingdom of God wherever he or she is placed. Well, I don't know whether we read it, but we saw from that 1 Corinthians, Chronicles chapter 10. Let's just look at that. I think it's a very good scripture to read. Did I say chapter 10? Of course, I was wrong. It's chapter 11. All right, so if we go to that 1 Chronicles chapter 11, you will see a lot of people were described there. We don't have time to read, of course. It's quite a long read. Now, if you see something, what I want to bring up from here is that if you read from chapter 10, you see when Saul died and all of that. And from verse 1 of chapter 11, then all Israel gathered at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh." It describes the fact that in times past, David had been doing the function of king even in their lives. So in verse 3, the Bible says, all the elders came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them. Now, the fact that you want to be king is one issue. The fact that some people want you to be king is another issue. Whether you can actually become king is a different matter. So what God does when he wants to make you king, you see in verse 4, the Bible describes the people, what happened, from verse 10. The Bible says, now these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Now, he now began to describe them. We talk about the mighty men of David. There are a lot of them there. We won't talk about them. We saw their mighty exploits. But what I want to bring out is the fact that they had one purpose in mind, that's to make David king. Now, what are we saying? That how Jesus is going to become king is when you and I go out as his soldiers, as when you and I go out as the people of his kingdom, and we start establishing his kingdom in different places. I'll talk about it in a moment. Look, because I had to think about our country again. All right, I was discussing with Israel and Okemute and Co. during the week, all right, and my wife, that listen, there are things that must be done. Otherwise, Nigeria, we have a real problem. Are you getting my point? And I'll explain it as we're going on now. We must do our duty. We must establish ourselves in the responsibilities that God has given to us. We are not just going to pray alone and expect things to just turn around. And you see it as I go on. I'm going to try and explain that. It's not just prayer. What happens is that when we have prayed and God wants to pour forth a blessing, there must be a people that can receive the blessing that he's pouring forth. Otherwise, the blessing will bounce back to him. Are you getting my point here? If God, listen, Jesus said something. He said, he sent out his disciples. He said, when you get to a house, say to them, peace be upon this home. Now, peace, as far as God is concerned, is not just a state of being. Peace is a spiritual force. It's a tangible substance. If it goes into a house, it will drive away trouble from there so that it can stay. Peace cannot be in a house and trouble will stay there. Are you getting my point? Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the tangible force that God sends into your life to enforce his order in your life. That is, if there's trouble in a house, if God comes and says, peace upon this house, something comes in and begins to drive away demonic oppression. Something comes in and begins to drive away sicknesses. Something comes in. That thing that comes in is called the peace of God. It's a spiritual substance. How do I know that? Because Jesus said that if a man of peace is there, your peace will stay there. But if he's not there, your peace will return to you. It shows to you, therefore, that's a spiritual substance that can move. It can get somewhere, it can be received, it can be collected, it can be used. And if it is not received, it goes back. Now, I use that one to just explain a point here, that God can send blessing, and that blessing finds nowhere to stay. So you can pray from now till tomorrow, and the Lord answers every one of the prayers. Now, there are a number of things. One, it took Daniel 21 days for his angel to arrive. Why did that happen? Is a question. That when blessing gets to where it's supposed to be, will it stay? Is another issue. It's another issue. What am I going to say here? So listen, it is important that each one of us, children of God, we do what we are supposed to do. Otherwise, God may pour his blessing into a nation we are praying for, and the blessing just bounces back. Let me stay on that. It's very important. Because just before I came up here now, I began to think about the attitude of Nigerians again. Are you getting my point? And I said, listen, these people, I'm not talking about you, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about the country as a whole. The typical person cannot hold the blessing of God. They can't hold it.
They don't love the nation enough for the nation to prosper under their watch. They don't. Listen, they don't. And how? What do I mean by many people? We can't generally as a nation receive the blessing. It's our attitude. It's the attitude of the leaders. It's the attitude of the... And listen, I don't mean that I'm not those who point fingers at Astro Rock and at Independence... what do you call it? Presidential Road in Enugu here. And so... All right, so I'm not pointing at Lion Building in Enugu. No, I don't believe in all of that, okay? I believe that the people get the kind of leaders, all right, that they deserve. That's what they get, all right? From amongst them, a leader is picked for them. That's just the way it is. So I'm not pointing fingers. But when some of us are elevated into leadership, we see what is inside the heart of the people. You will now see that these are not people that can hold a blessing. One of the things I found out, which is very common in our country today, that an average person thinks it's a country to be milked, collect your portion, and go and enjoy somewhere else. We are all trying, generally speaking, I'm not saying you, I'm not talking about me, but generally speaking, as a people, we have this habit of milking the cow, milking the system. We try our best so that the prosperity that God gave us over the last 10 years thereabout, if you see the way we applied it, God said, listen, no, even if I'm blessing people constantly, they can't continue like this and the prosperity will stay. They can't. What happens is that this is how we pray generally as Christians, this as a nation, as people, not as Christians now, as people in the country. We kneel and say, God, Lord, God, give us peace in Nigeria so I can get money out of it. But you want to pour your blessing, please pour it upon America. An average Nigerian wishes America more good than he does his own nation. What I've told is a matter of fact. You see, you must understand that in life, you call things to be by faith. Many of the times, listen, and you will see, so that you won't be afraid. I'll tell you something in a moment. Many of the times, what we do is that we can pray. Prayer is not what gets you things. You must understand. The Bible says faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. What does that tell you? Hope does not mean you have a wish. Hope doesn't mean you have a wish. Hope is an expectation. Are you getting my point? So faith is working when you have an expectation. If you don't have an expectation, forget you don't have faith. I hope you're getting my point here. That is, if you claim to have faith, what are you expecting? If you are not expecting, let me say straight. You see people, they are poor, they don't have money. I say poor now. Not as if they are so rich. They are struggling to gather things together. But they say, my wife is pregnant. She has to deliver. Then they struggle to gather money so the baby can be born in America. For what? No expectation. I don't know whether I get my point. There is no expectation. People like when you are praying and praying and praying, the fact is your heart is not where you claim that your prayer is going to. It's not there. 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 So no matter how much you claim you are praying, what is actually happening is that you are not putting the spiritual force to bring that blessing into that area. That was why when God spoke to Isaac, he said, sow in this land. He sowed there. When Isaac sowed in the land, the Lord blessed him inside there. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, that's the problem. Many times God wants to bless people. You hear me say it again and again. There are times I look at God, all right, in quotes. And when I say people laugh, I start feeling sorry for him. If it's possible to feel sorry for him, all right? I start feeling sorry. What do I mean? That people make him look like he's unfaithful. People make him look like he does not know what he's doing. They claim they are praying, but he's not answering the prayers. Why is he not answering the prayer? God said, if you come, you sit down beside me. Look, if you were God, can you answer this? That's what the Bible calls double-mindedness. They're asking for one thing, but their expectations are for another thing. This is the good side of it. Let me quickly explain that. This is the good side. God does not require 100% of the people to behave in a particular way for him to pour his blessings. He doesn't respect that. That's the good side. That's the good side of it. He doesn't even respect 50%. He does not even respect 10%. That's the good side. What percentage does he expect? I don't know for sure. But one thing I know for certain is that he does not expect the unbeliever to behave in a particular way. He says, in the nation I have planted my people. They are the ones that I'm talking to. If those people who are called by my name, if they will do what is right, they will be amazed at the kind of blessing I can pour upon them and through them into the nation where they live. That's why I call them the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's it. That is, if I want to establish, it's very important. You see, for God to bring forth the things that he wants to do, oh God, like I said, many things I have to say. They need to do, now please notice the word, do what is right. Because when a curse wants to alight, the people start doing what is wrong. And when God wants to pour a blessing, they start doing what is right. You see, the ability to do what is right and the ability to identify what is right to do is one of the first signs that God's blessing is coming to a people. Now, I was saying something earlier. So this is what God does when he wants to bless a nation, when he wants to bless the earth. He first of all sends his people out, we're saying, just like David's men, they are the ones that will establish him as king in every area. Now, what we have been talking about, which is where I try to start this review from, is the fact that it's not just preachers that are doing the work of ministry, and the work of ministry is not just preaching. It is not, I'm not saying, when I say it's not only preachers that do work of ministry now, I don't mean that you go to a school, a teacher in a secondary school, in a university, in the primary school, they can also preach from their platform. That's not what I mean. Preaching is important, but that is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying the art of standing there and communicating scientific truth to young people is ministry. Standing there, are you getting my point? And teaching children is ministry. Standing there, all right, and being a policeman is ministry. Standing there and dressing people up is ministry. Being a being a contractor, constructing roads is ministry. In every aspect of life, Jesus must be established as king. You see where I'm going? You see where I'm going? Now, so what God does, we said this last time. This is what we said last time. What he does is that anywhere he wants to come into, anywhere he wants to pour a blessing, anywhere he wants to manifest himself, anywhere he wants his grace to flow into, anywhere he wants to turn the things that were bad into good, what does he do? He sends them ahead. We discussed that last time. Luke chapter 10, in verse 1. We saw that he took them two by two and sent them to every place that he himself was going to come into. That's what he does. He sends people out and says, okay, go in there. If you are not there, my blessing cannot come there. If I want to pour my blessing, the first thing I do is to send you in there. So being in there, being a politician, being a policeman, being a customs officer, being a teacher, being a mother, being a businessman, being an investor, you are not there because you want to make money or make a name for yourself. You are there because you want the Lord to be able to come inside there. If you are not there, he can't enter. He can't enter. We have established that. So listen, this teaching is just to reorient the minds of Christians. So listen now, it's no longer about which one is paying better. It is where am I supposed to drag the life of God into? It's not which one can I make more money from. It is where can I pour, where can God pour his grace and his blessing into through me? How do you know that? We said last time, when you find yourself there, occupy until he comes. You find a gift in your hands, stay there and be using it. Stay there and be using it. You're not just there, all right, to earn an income. You're not just there to be a good Christian. You are there that without your presence, God can't come in there. Listen, that's ministry. That is ministry. I was saying something earlier. Let me get back to it, all right? Very important. You know, I was saying that I thought about the country again. Let me just establish this. We discussed this on Tuesdays, talking about blessing. Now, you can disagree with me about this a bit, but not much. I have reasoned about it. We're looking about races of people. Generally, I have read my scriptures up and down. I didn't see any blessing that God left anywhere for black people. I'm sorry, oh. Let me say it again. It is not a joke. It's not by accident that, you know, people get angry that white man came to impoverish the country. I have reasoned and reasoned. I said it's a fat lie. They never did that. The fact that they came is the reason why things developed. They came and poured a blessing inside the place. How do I know? Because you see enclaves of people that they did not reach. Those ones never went anywhere. So who plundered them? Go to where these men did not reach. Now, you see something in a moment. Those guys are wicked to themselves. They did not develop. They did not. Forget all these men, they make it by reparations. White man came to plunder Africa. I laugh about it. Plunder with Africa. Where were you when he arrived? Did you have boats crossing the Atlantic when he had? Which development did you have? But that's not my message. My message is not about that. My message is about this. That God said, forget those things that are passed away. They've gone. And listen, he never at any point revoked the curse that Noah placed upon Ham and his descendants. He never did that. The curse is working all the time. It's destroying things. Sometimes what we call fruitful land. The land is rich. You see gross trees and gross all kinds of things, right? But go and check it. It's also a curse. It grows weeds faster than crops. You see trees massive. They sank roots everywhere. A harvester can't drive over them. You say this land is rich. But they said it won't yield its increase for you. Thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles are feeding on the nutrients of the land. You know, one day, the Lord is good. I drove with a friend of mine. This was in Houston. We were looking for something. So we went to the outer part of the city. So I said, what is this? He said, it's forest. I said, this is normal forest. Did they plant these trees? That is how trees are normally. I said, it means this land was fine before this guy. Do you get trees growing properly, straight, you know, in an orderly fashion? So they could easily, that is, you buy empty land, by the time you break the trees down, you knock the trees down, they are straight, they can be made into houses. Did you see the way I want they grow? You see contour? Build with this one first. I said, that means this place was fine. Before men even did anything. A land can be blessed. That's the point I make. Nobody cultivating it, but it grows in order. So when you come to cultivate, it's easy to clear. Don't be depressed. You see where I'm going. Why did God not bother to remove the curse that Noah placed on Ham and the descendants? It's a very simple reason. Because he brought a blessing that's superior to every other thing. Are you getting my point here? What did he do? He brought a blessing in Christ. So what did he do? He said, anyone who's tired of this curse, come into Christ. Don't be fighting me that I should revoke this curse. Why should I? I have brought you something superior to it. You see where I'm going? For that reason, the only hope, back to our nation, that a land like ours has, the only hope that this continent has, the only hope it has is that the sons of God who are in Christ will manifest the life of God that is inside them. There is no other hope. If we don't do it, better run. Because I've thought about it. I can't find any other source of blessing. I can't find. Naturally, the people are not blessed. They are not. The only think about it, at the end, if I'm wrong, come and talk to me and show me, give me facts and figures. Listen, when you see black men gather, the only place where you have seen development is where the white people got to. Was it here I was teaching or in Lokoja? I explained to them. There was a time the black men said, no, we'll kill all the white men that lords over us. They killed off all their masters. That was in Haiti. Haiti was a slave colony. Sugarcane plantation. The slaves got wise. They killed all the masters. What did they arrive at? One of the poorest countries on the earth till today. What happened at the end of the day? Nothing. They reinstituted their own religion. What came out of it? Voodooism. Zombieism. Please, I hate hearing this rubbish of our culture. Nonsense culture that didn't build a car. Rubbish culture that produced nothing. I want to be guarding it jealously. In 2016, adults will still be carrying masquerade and running up and down. In 2016. That's it. That's our culture. Culture, rubbish culture. Listen. They said, culture is a cloak of religion. Your culture is a product of what you worshipped. Don't do any funny dances with funny colors and mirrors and people spinning in the dark. They are doing that, walk away from there. Say, don't remind me of idol worship. All things have passed away. This is the reason why people are not blessed. You can't merge Christianity with those things. So you can't. You just cannot. What am I going to emphasize? Listen, Our text of scripture is what? You are the light of the world. So when God wants to pour a blessing, this is what he says. Each one of you, go in, and you are working for me when you make it a matter of your life mission, your life goal, to walk in righteousness, manifest the life of Christ that is in you, and let your environment feel it. Because that is the only hope. That is the only hope. You know, I was saying earlier, it's very important. When there's a curse upon people, this curse does one thing to them. It makes them behave foolishly. That's what it does. You know, there's a way the Lord did this life. If he says to a man, I will curse you, and a blessing will not endure in your house, and poverty will come to you, don't expect thunder and lightning to destroy his money. It may happen, but it's not often. You know what normally happens? Foolishness comes into his life. And that foolishness is always based on his wrong character. Always. God never manufactures bad habits for him. No, he doesn't. When he spoke against the house of, what's our guy's name? Solomon. You know what happened? Rehoboam may have had other brothers who were smarter than him, who were wiser than him, who were more godly than him. God said, no, they will not become king. And somebody will say, why? Simply because if they become king, they will have too much sense. I can't split the nation like I planned to. He said, so what do we do? He said, make Rehoboam king. He said, why? He said, he's a stupid boy. God did not make him stupid. He was stupid from the beginning. God just used his foolishness to establish the curse that he placed upon the household. So you know what happened to Rehoboam? Rehoboam was there. The elders gathered and they said, your father in his last days, what he did was terrible. What you will do and we will serve you is that you will lighten our load. You will do things that are right. They told him everything. You know the story. Let me not bore you with it. Rehoboam decided to go and listen to young people, his age mates, who were saying, this is our time. These elders have finished ruling. We are now in power. That was their own. So when they say lighten our load, it was taxes. Listen, Rehoboam, you lighten the load. How much money will the boys get when you put them in authority? Your kingdom will not become larger. Tell them, and then, because you are young, don't mind those men. God knew it to happen. And that was how the kingdom split from Rehoboam. That's how life is. When Absalom, you know, I was reading the story of Absalom today. When Absalom decided to revolt against his father, the same principle you saw. When his revolt was going to fail, one simple thing happened to Absalom. We know the rest of the story again. It's something we all know. For those who don't know, we can go and read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 17. Ahithophel was a man who understood the precepts of life. He understood the order of life so much that when David heard that Ahithophel had joined Absalom, it became a prayer point. He said, God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. But like I told you, God doesn't manufacture things out of nowhere like that. The gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. So Ahithophel was wise. He was wise. Nothing anybody was going to do about it. So God said, what do I do? He said, there's no problem. Ahithophel may be wise. Absalom is foolish. So he just arranged in such a manner that Absalom did not listen to Ahithophel. That's all he did. When a curse wants to manifest, that's the point I'm making. When he wants to manifest, he starts telling people, do what is wrong. That's how he manifests. Ahithophel was so right, and he knew he was so right. Once they did not take his counsel, he knew the revolt was over. He knew they had lost the battle. He knew there was no way. David was not coming back. He went back home and quickly put his house in order, hung himself, and he died. My emphasis is that for the revolt to fail, God just removed sense from who? Absalom. Look, the boy was foolish. And God knew, listen, the guy won't listen to sound counsel. Let us assume he had listened to that counsel. the Lord will have had to use another method to preserve the life of David. Please, I hope you are following my point here. You now say, what are you talking about? I'll tell you. It means, therefore, now we're talking about our nation. We're talking about Africa as a continent. Please, let me quickly digress. Forget this pointing of fingers. Why we are under is because white man came and plundered us. Don't believe it again. Don't believe it again. When we began to prosper, we stole our money and gained and donated to them. So let's forget all of those things. Till now, if they say this is made in the US, this is made in Nigeria, an average African man's mind buys the American one first. The American man will not buy another one if he had an option. You have to undercut his locally made price or make the quality so high for him to look at you. Please, let's forget this finger pointing thing. Let's forget it. Let's forget that thing entirely. Now, I'm going somewhere. So you find out that when you find a nation like that, you find a continent like that, and we see there's a curse. We don't mean they'll just be going on the road, and they won't know what happened. Lightning will just from somewhere. Boom! Everybody will just die. No, even, listen, if God passes a curse upon the people, maybe it will bring natural disasters and all of that, that curse usually finds it hard to cross generations. What I mean is that if this particular generation is cursed, they had locust and hail and all those things upon them, when they die off, their curses usually will follow them. The only problem is this. The next generation, will they continue in the deeds of the previous generation or they will not? If they continue in the deeds of the previous generations, then they download those curses again. That is the way it works. Sometimes God has promised. Listen, when God promises, negatively now, and you don't do what is wrong, that negative promise doesn't come to pass. Abiathar was a priest, a descendant of Eli. I will wipe out from your generation. That was before Saul. Before the birth of Samuel. When Samuel was born as a little boy, he served there. Years later, he became an old man. He became an old man before Saul entered into office. Saul reigned for a long time before David took over. David was old. Abiathar was still priest. Until one day, he joined a conspiracy against Solomon. That was it. Can you see how far? The curse could not wipe out the whole lineage of Eli from priesthood, as long as they behave themselves. Then one day, Abiathar joined a conspiracy against Solomon. We will not analyze it now. If you don't read in between the lines, you won't know why Solomon dealt harshly with those people. They were conspiring to unseat him. The choice of God, the choice of David. So when Solomon looked at him, because you served my father, because during the conspiracy of Absalom, he was with David. So because you served my father and you suffered when my father suffered, I won't kill you. He retired him and went back home. And the Bible says that he might be fulfilled the word of the Lord that came to Shiloh. How many years before? If Abiathar didn't join that conspiracy, he would have died in peace. His children will continue as priests. So when a curse is hanging, people need to connect to. It's click to download. If you don't click to download, you are free. A blessing is also like that. God promises a blessing. It's hard, even if he doesn't say it. There are conditions inside it. Those conditions, you know our best example here, Genesis chapter 18. In verse 19, he said, righteousness and justice must be lent by the descendants of Abraham. Otherwise, everything that God promised, they will never see. I'm going somewhere. So when it comes for, remember I said that, forget all these African nations, these countries, continent, they don't have any blessing. They don't have any inherent blessing. I mean what I'm saying. Apart from the general covenant of God, seed time and harvest shall not cease. They will have seed time and harvest. Harvest, let's see now. But those blessings that caused men to prosper, they didn't have. All that sustained them was simple words like be fruitful and multiply. So they were just being fruitful, they were multiplying, then they were dying. Then they would have more children again. Then they would die again. So that the race would just be kept there. But the real blessing, this is my summary, only keep, see, It only came because Jesus came. When Jesus came, he wiped away slavery. When he came, he wiped away lack of productivity. This curse that says that the earth will not yield its increase, he wiped it away. All these curses that say, well, one will chase 1,000, and he wiped all of them away. And he said, even though they said to you, a servant of servants you will be, he said, not anymore. It's a spiritual blessing. We have all been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, this is where I'm going. For it to manifest, the same thing. We start, that blessing starts producing the knowledge of right. It starts, listen, it starts teaching us how to deal with each other. I hope you're getting my principle here. Like my wife was, you were telling me a few days ago that you and Yinka went somewhere and they were talking about something. And Yinka quoted the scripture, told somebody that a liberal soul shall be made fat. And they were talking about business. How one particular business person doesn't like to share, wants to collect everything. And Yinka said, that's why such people don't go far. Why? Because the Bible says a liberal soul shall be made fat. What does that tell you? Why didn't African men develop strong medicine? Because every leaf he knew, he cared for himself and his children. So when he died suddenly, the cure for that ailment died with him. But you went to those who were blessed. They had schools. They taught. Till today, doctors still refer to Hippocratic oath. There was a physician called Hippocrates. And he would talk about his students, how to handle students. Men taught. So knowledge multiplied in generations. Are you getting my point? Nobody was born one day great. God deposits a bit of knowledge in one generation. The next generation multiplies it. But they can't if they don't understand the simple principle of liberality. A liberal soul is made fat. So listen, when we talk about the curse, it's not as if the curse, we don't know where what it came from. No. It becomes spiritual repercussions for behaviors on a daily basis. Men are jealous of each other. They don't want their neighbor to prosper. Like somebody said, Polish capitalism. It's a joke. They said the difference between American capitalism and Polish capitalism is that if you have 50 goats and your neighbor has 100, and you're an American man, you pray, God, bless me, make my goats 100. You want to be equal with your neighbor. But one man will pray, say, God, increase me, give me 100 goats. The other one say, God, make me equal with my neighbor, kill 50 of his own. These are spiritual traits that keep men in bondage. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
When light comes, when the blessing comes through Christ, that's what I'm talking about. He now says to the people of God, he says, you go and do business, and please, under no circumstances, should you follow their ways. This first sign of a blessing is that you start understanding spiritual truths concerning what they are doing. That begins to manifest as practical wisdom concerning what you do. There are business decisions you will not make, all right? Simply because you understand spiritual truth. Let me give you a very simple example. The one that's going on right now, pyramid schemes. They're all over the place now. It's a season. The cycles is in like about 20-year cycle. The last I knew, when it was all over the place, like 1991, 93, thereabout. Between 1989 to 93, then they all died off. They didn't really resurrect much since that time until now. All right? Now, this is what I'm going to. Many people, because of foolishness, and go and see it, it's pure selfishness. The Bible says clearly, scripture just tells us straight that anyone that wants to be in a hurry to become rich will end up poor. It's a spiritual truth. He said, don't be in a haste to acquire wealth. He said, that wealth, people think that money is whether you have it or you don't have it. No, money is the ability to hold it. So if I give a man who does not have the ability to hold 10 billion, and I give it to him one day, two things are guaranteed to happen. One, he will run mental. Two, he will be poor after 1 year. guaranteed to happen. You know, God is good. God will just send him a thief. The Lord has made everything for a purpose. Even a thief for his role in the day of collecting the money back. They just go to him and say, "Oga, that your 1 billion, we can make it 10 billion for you." He won't be. He was poor before they gave him 1 billion. And as we can make it 10, he said, "Are you serious?" "Yes, just give it to us." They'll just collect it like this, wave the guy bye-bye and walk away. Yeah, I'm telling you. Desire to become suddenly rich is one of the things that entrench people in poverty. The spiritual trait, it manifests in wrong business choices. He won't be patient. I'm going somewhere. And where I'm going is to talk about the blessing. So when God wants to establish a blessing, he said, these people are out of the, they have, like we declare every time, we have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. You are getting my point? Now, those things are there. Those things are happening. Are you getting my point? These are spiritual truths. When those things are going to become manifested, this is what happens. The woman suddenly is calmer, starts making better business choices. He's not in a hurry. She's not in a hurry. People make money in 1 year, two. They are suddenly multimillionaires. Then they are poor by the third and fourth year. No, it takes him 10 years to build wealth. In that period, he builds character. He builds knowledge. He builds institutions. He builds structures. In 20 years, he's built a structure and he has taught his children. And they keep on getting richer generation after generation. Are you getting my point here? God's blessing doesn't just make a man who knew nothing today rich tomorrow. He doesn't do that. Even Jesus did not do it. Prove that you are the one. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. He said, but the poor, we preach the gospel to them. You give them money, they go mad. He said, the poor, we preach the gospel to them. Then the gospel starts transforming the mind. It doesn't mean he will live in poor. It's not as if Jesus enjoyed people being poor. No, he didn't enjoy that. His ministry was not sponsored by poor people. He never took offering at crusade. The only time he took offering as a crusade was to multiply it for everybody to eat. The boy that had them. Okay, anyway, the fish and the loaves. So which one is two? Which one is five? Certainly later. You're getting my point here. So it's not as if he enjoyed people being poor. You know, he didn't enjoy it. But he said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. What does he mean? Listen, I need to transform him from inside before he can handle wealth outside. If I don't transform him from inside, he cannot handle wealth outside. That's the principle. I'm talking about the true service of God. That's where I'm going now. So you look around, there's poverty. God said this is spiritual reason. It's a spiritual reason. It's not because of your leaders. They are a product of the spiritual reason. It's not because of your political system. That political system is a product of the spiritual reason. The real reason is spiritual. Now, those of you who have been delivered from that bondage into freedom, you now have a responsibility. One, listen to this. One, you must download the knowledge of that which is right to do. There are two sides to it. One, by virtue of the fact that you are in the light, you have some spiritual traits that come with being a Christ person. Let me give you a few examples. It doesn't matter to you if your neighbor is richer than you or he's not. Are you getting my point here? If you can contribute to your neighbor's wealth, why not become rich yourself? It doesn't bother you. You have the attribute of poor, in which all this your labor, what is it for? At least that man is getting richer. Say, how is he blessing you? Say, if he gets richer now, all the problems in that area, maybe he will take it away. Say, what about you? My time will come. Listen, that thing may sound simple, but that's Christian thinking. Somebody with the life of Christ in him, in her, doesn't care. Look, maybe Jacob, you walk in the house of Laban. You take pride in the fact that Laban is richer because of my presence. What about you? God will settle me at the right time. That's what I mean by spiritual traits. You suddenly have this attitude that, listen, even if I'm not known outside, if from behind where I am, I can be influential enough to make things progress, then I walk away without ever being recognized. These are spiritual traits. But beyond that, you start learning what is right to do. One thing I quote all the time, Henry Ford made a statement. And believe me, I don't know, there may have been men before him. There may have been men that tried it, but at least he's the one that made the thing, you know, popular. The concept of warranties. You buy a car now, in fact, the standard warranty in most part of the world for cars now is 5 years. It's 5 years now standard, most parts of the world. In fact, even in Nigeria, I remember then, Kia and Hyundai, they are top-level SUVs. They gave you 5 years unlimited mileage warranty, which means if any part spoils, just, I didn't say drive into the river and say, sorry, my car fell into the ocean. That's not what I mean. You are driving, your AC is not cooling again. They go and find out that the compressor is dead. You drive it back to them. They look at it. They yank that one up, off, and put a new one at their own cost. Why am I talking about it? So it's become standard, and everybody does it now. It's normal now in advanced parts of the world. But when Henry Ford started it, who was doing it? But Henry Ford said something, which is why I'm quoting it. He said, now listen to this. He said the success of the Ford Motor Company, for him, is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. Even though the machines were good, even though the company was successful, he said, but I needed that company, I needed to build that company and make it successful just to demonstrate to people that the way they are doing business is wrong. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, the only thing I wanted to do was to tell them they don't do business like this. His issue was not about motor cars. It's just like he said, look, why do you make a product and you are hoping it will break down and somebody will be maintaining it and you'll be getting richer? He said, it's not right. He said, if I give you a machine, it bears my name, Ford. So it's bearing my name. And a good name is what I must have. So my machine and my name are the same thing. So my machine is only as good as my name. My name is only as good as my machine. So Henry Ford did not understand why his car should break down. He said, if his car breaks down, it's not your fault, it's my fault. That was why he established service centers everywhere. He started offering warranties. He said, if it breaks down, bring it back. Now the whole world learned it. That's what I mean by producing righteousness. It's not just about being a man of integrity in your heart. No. Now how you do business, suddenly, the concept of giving warranties is standard. The man had ideas. Look, read his book, My Life and Work. Look, he had interesting ideas. He would tell you that, look, men come in different, you know, capacities and capabilities. What one man can do, another one can do, they are different. He said, but they all have to work. So what do I do? Make the work simple so that every man can do it. The man will break job down to pieces so that your job, you come to work, carry this, put it here, screw here, screw here, screw here. Turn the screw 5 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So if you do that regularly, I make sure you earn enough to take care of yourself, buy a house, buy one of the cars, raise your children. Now, I'm not trying to paint him as a saint. I'm using him as an example of how blessings come. So when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, you are getting my point? What it means is this. The reason why they can be in bondage and things are not working well, it's because they were under a curse, that is true. But the curse has practical explanations for its manifestations. You will see that this is how they make wrong decisions. This is where things go wrong. They habitually think like this. For that reason, they never make any progress. And that is a manifestation of a curse that was placed upon them. So how do they start making progress? First, we remove the curse. Then they now have the ability to have sound wisdom. Wisdom now becomes part of them. They can receive wisdom. And Jesus now said, yes, they may be in a nation where everything is wrong, but doesn't matter. If enough of them will hear this truth and practice the truth, it will permeate the environment. It will wipe out every curse that was there before. I hope you're getting my point here. It will wipe out every curse. Now, listen to this. That is what I'm trying to teach, to reorient the minds of Christians. That you look at, this is my life, I'm talking about to work for God. If I'm working somewhere, before, my production unit, we could do 200 of this in a week. You know what the Lord is saying? If you keep on doing 200 of this in a week, sorry that I'm laughing. Today, as I was driving out of my house, I was going to get something. So I saw about 10 to 15 men wearing just shorts and nothing else, and they were digging. You getting my point? So I said, what are they laying down? All this fiber, you know what I'm talking about now. It made me reason again. I said, poverty is a very terrible thing. Now. So the work that these 15 men are doing in a week, one machine will do it in a day. That is what they call wealth. What do they call it? That's wealth. For us right now, it's cheaper. It's cheaper for us to hire those 15 men to be digging their lives away. Because one, they are not going to steal during that process. And all the money you will pay 200 of them to dig for 1 year cannot buy one of those machines. So just give them, it's good for the economy that they are earning some money. But if you look at it as a whole, that's what is called poverty. That is, it will take you so long to dig all over the nation. So God said, are you the light of the world? And you say, yes. He said, fine. Go and find them a method by which you won't need that number of men to dig that amount of ditch in that period of time. So that these same men, doing the same amount of work, listen to this, they would dig the same number of men, instead of digging my street, they would dig the whole of Enugu in the same length of time. You're getting the point I'm making? They would. What you have done is that you have done what? You have created for them what? Wealth. Now God is saying, as a believer, when I put you in the digging area, you are not content with just collecting money and going home. Are you getting my point here? You realize that I am the light of this situation. So every day you are standing there and probing. How can they dig better? That's Christianity I'm preaching. How can they dig better? As of last year, I don't know about now, they said Nigeria used to spend $500 and something million a year on medical tourism to India alone. So you're a doctor. It is not let me also practice, buy a house, and start flying. That thing, I'm sorry, it's getting on my nerves now. This reckless flying all over the world that wants to give us small prosperity. You know, that is the new plague we have now. This dollar hit 450, we're not here. God said, leave them, bank, leave them. I go push them to 1,000, they go cool down. Just they watch me. That's what I mean at the beginning when I said that. You pray for prosperity. But God said, what do you call prosperity? The ability to lavish money anyhow. That's not prosperity. That's not what prosperity is. Because you're a doctor, so you say, look, okay, what can I do? Or how can it be done that this money will stay here? When you're thinking of starting a clinic, it's not about, let me own another clinic and make some money. It is that, no, I have a mission, ending medical tourism. You see, what God does is to pour, you know, we're talking about a blessing. He now pours a grace upon you. There's something I said earlier. God is not expecting 170 million Nigerians to do this. He's not even expecting 17 million to do it. He's not even expecting 5 million to do it. He's just saying, listen, the special assignment for the people that bear my name is what I'm discussing. They are the ones that will change their attitudes first. They are the light of the world. If the world is going to experience the blessing of God, it starts with them. It starts with them in their attitudes. It starts with them with their mindset. Then it starts manifesting how they do things, how they make choices. You put them in a particular area, what they are thinking about is, good. I was talking about medical tourism. This must come to an end. Listen, the value of your currency anywhere in the world is what it reflects when somebody picks it up. If I pick a 100 naira note, and what I see in it is people who import refined products, medical tourism, send all their children abroad once they have small money, are you getting my point? The value will keep dropping. The value will keep dropping. If I pick it and say, oh, this is a country in which they don't import refined products, anything, if anything, they export it, the price is going up. Oh, three of the best hospitals in Africa are there. Oh, that's the value going up. Oh, they have four universities that are world class. They produce the best teachers. They produce the best historians. Listen, sometimes Nigerians make me laugh. They want to do, you don't need to start from the top. Do you get my point? Start from some things that are easy for you first. For example, technology and science are two different things. Attack technology first. Leave science behind. You know what they call science? Let me tell you what science is. Science is somewhere in Europe, they build a large hadron collider for billions of dollars. Most of you are wondering what is large, what is hadron, what do they collide? The truth is that they create a vacuum, take a few atoms, spin them around a circle of how many kilometers. They'll be running at full speed. When they are going at almost the speed of light, they jam each other. Atoms. Then the atom will now split. You'll now be reading recording and say, oh, we discovered the Higgs boson. And you're like... When you see the amount of money to discover... What's the Higgs boson? Nothing. It's just something that appeared for... If I tell you this, I was going to make you laugh. They appeared for 1 over 100 million of a second and vanished. Oh. You don't know what those guys are looking for? Then they discover, hey, they finally found a planet that looks like the Earth. He said, why? It's orbiting around a particular star. Where's the star? The star is 2 million light years away. You could do like this for back. Say, congratulations for front, for back. You could do like this. See, look at this guy. It displeases me personally when Africans want to start like that. Yes. I said, they have an atomic research agency somewhere. What are you doing? You two are looking for a large hadron collider. Your road is colliding with the gutter. You are looking for a large hadron collider. I don't know for my people. But what's technology? Technology is when you apply already discovered science into practical use. So your mobile phone, that's technology. Your car, that's technology. Are you getting my point? You're building a house, you're constructing, you have cranes, that's technology. All right, you start adapting things that have been discovered. You start adapting them to real life. That's technology. Okay? So that's just my own. I just want to bring out. So, and if you check it, Koreans, they're not known for all those kind of the research, large hadron something. That's your problem. The guys will make phones and try to drive Apple out of the market. That's it. That's technology. Technology is applying scientific truth into how to improve people's lives. Engineering is technology. Medicine is technology. All right, science is Albert Einstein. So now I'll be writing things and discovering star that's 300 million light years away. And I said that something is traveling towards the Earth. It might collide with the Earth. Say, is that so? Say, when? Say, in about 15 million years. Say, let's see, collide now. Even if Jesus no one come back, we don't call him back. Say, the Lord Jesus, we're waiting now. They are laughing at us. He said, behold, I come quickly. This is what they call quickly. No, the Lord is good. Now, this is what I'm making. So you look at it. If they look at it, say, look, listen. Three of the best universities in Africa is in this particular country. Look at their technological advancement. When you hold their money, the value is increasing. And listen to this. I'm talking about how the true service of God. I said earlier, our job as believers is to demonstrate to people that indeed Jesus died. His death is not a historical fact alone. It is historical, but that's not the only thing about it. It has to be practical. It must be applied in reality today. That's why the definition of faith is in two sides. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What are the things not seen? Were you there when Jesus died? No, you didn't see it. So by faith, we accept it. What is the evidence of things not seen? They said he rose up on the third day. You were not there. They said he seated in heavenly places. You are not there. You didn't see those things. But you accept them by faith. Why? They are true. And Jesus demanded that of Thomas. Thomas said, except I see, I put my hand. Jesus said, listen, blessed are those who believe these things without seeing them. But there's a part of faith we must never forget. He said, faith is what? The substance of an expectation. What is it? What is hope? Hope means I have an expectation. Hope does not mean I have a wish. Hope does not mean that, oh, maybe I'm desire. No, there's a difference between hope and desire. There's a word desire in the Bible. But hope is not desire. Hope is what? Expectation. You read the Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament words. It uses the word firm expectation. It has the word firm to it. So if somebody has a firm expectation, say, how do you know? You say, because this happened. The word of God says so. You say, okay, it's by faith. So the knowledge of historical things don't mean much unless they have a practical expectation for today. Are you getting my point? It is that expectation for today that makes those things that are historical true. What do I mean? If I go around saying Jesus died, he rose again from the dead, that's historical. What is the practical expectation? It means even though the doctor says a disease is incurable, I laugh. Are you getting my point? That is what? Expectation. That is, that knowledge of historical things must have create an expectation for my life today. That means, listen, like we were saying earlier, we are all in ministry, not only those who are preaching. That means if I'm doing my business, every day I go to work, I know there are things that we were doing, which is the reason why our business never grew to be big, which is the reason why we could not employ men in thousands. They may say it's a curse. That curse has something we are doing that's wrong. Doesn't mean it's evil, but does not agree with large productivity. So I say, okay, good. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. I'm redeemed. Because I'm redeemed, I must have what? Expectation. So when I go to work every day, my mind is scanning. Listen to me. Listen, let me tell you something there. This is how I preach. I want to just use as an illustration. God has helped me with a lot of understanding. I read a lot. I've been studying scriptures since 1987. So I've been reading every day. I still read my Bible. I will still take notes. Thank God for these days that I have technology. I can take my notes and it's stored on Olive Tree server and all of that. Thank God for that. But anytime I want to preach, I always ask God for a word that I'm going to preach for that day. If you come to me and you're discussing with me, maybe you need counseling. You are talking. I'm listening to two people. I'm listening to you. At the same time, I'm constantly praying and scanning in my mind, what does God want me to say to you? And usually when it hits me, I know it. Why? I'm a preacher. That's ministry as a preacher. You know what I'm saying, all these things? To let you know, that same mentality is what a redeemed child of God carries into business. You go to work. You say, the problem is that we have a lot of debts that we can't recover. And your mind starts scanning, Lord, what is the method by which I won't have this amount of debt out there that people are owing me? The Holy Spirit says, one, pay your own debts. That's a spiritual one. So you say, okay, good. So instead of how do I chase those who are owing me? As I say, how do I make sure that I don't owe? You sort that one out. God says, okay, yes, now I have outstanding debts outside, 3.6 million, and my business is desperately in need of the money. Then I start praying. Sometimes God just says, all you need to do is pray. And then I start waking people up to go and pay you. Other times, I say, look, next time you want to do business, put these things down in writing. Do it like this. Wisdom is coming. After a while, you establish that wisdom as a method by which your company runs and becomes the key to your efficiency. I hope you're getting my point here. That is, faith, I'm redeemed, does not mean I go to church alone. I'm redeemed means that what it took 10 men to do, God will give me the method by which only one person will do it as efficiently. A redeemed man, a redeemed woman does not give excuses for being backward. But every day is asking God for wisdom. How can I improve this? That is, faith does not just tell me Jesus died. Come on, that's half of faith. Faith does not just tell me Jesus rose again from the dead. I know, I agree. That's why I'm a believer. But then that's knowledge, that's faith as a substance of things not seen. But what is faith as a substance of things hoped for? What is faith producing for me as expectation? Yes, I believe. What is it creating for me? And God is saying, listen, it's not just for you. Like I said, you want to redeem the whole nation? It's not the 170 million people that will change. No. It's not 170 million. It's not even 17 million. Maybe not even 1.7. But those who are called by my name, they must change their ways. They must download wisdom from above. They must go out and establish that. And listen, what marks out people as believers? Let me explain this again. It's not that they go, oh, Father in heaven. It's not that they go to church. No, many people go to church. The first thing that marks out Christians, people as believers. Listen, let me give you an example. To let you know what we're talking about believers. These are practical things. They are very, very practical things. Let us assume now, as an example, somebody starts, very good. I just remembered one story now. When Ebola was threatening, you were the one that called me one morning. And they said that, I didn't know I was still sleeping, my phone rang. He said, sorry to wake you up. They said Ebola, to prevent Ebola, bathe with salt water. They told him, let me ask somebody who might know. I didn't even know the thing was out. I just said, nonsense. It's rubbish. I didn't think for up to 2 seconds. I was like, who came up with that kind of joke? That you bathe with salt water and drink a bit of it and Ebola won't catch you. You know, that's all. And I just went to sleep. Now, this is what faith is. If I really believe what I said, will you find me near salt water? If he believes what I said, will he collect salt water? If he said, listen to this. If he said, let's just be sure. What does that mean? So he now took a bit of salt water and bathed with it and drank a bit of it just to cover the bases, like they say. What does that tell you? He does not believe anything. He didn't believe what I said. Are you getting my point? What marks out a true believer is that the things he or she claims to believe is affecting how he's making decisions every day. When he's doing business, you know something's like that is something's up. They say, let's do like they say, no, that's not necessary. Why? Look, God in his due season, he will take that one, he will take care of that. And he's not just joking, he's convinced and he's taking those actions. I'll give you a very practical example. I say it all the time, listen, I mean it. If you like, okay, those days. Hopefully they're not too past here, but it looks like they are past. Let's say my wife is pregnant now and she wants to deliver. And I dash her free ticket, go and born in America. You know she's not going to answer you. She's not going to answer you. She's not going to answer you for anything. Is there anything wrong with it? No, listen, please get me right. Get what I'm going to say. I want you to understand me. The reason is because the motive many people have, I have never had it. I am so persuaded that what my children need is a blessing that I impact upon them by prophecy and laying on of hands. And then I teach them how to do righteousness and justice. I hope you're getting my point. I am so convinced of it. And I'm not joking about what I'm about to say. I told everybody then, and I still say it today, and I've said it in my son's hearing. I said, if Dangote comes up now and say, Pastor Banky, God bless you for the work of God you are doing. The Lord laid upon my heart to pay a full scholarship for your son to go to Harvard. I am not lying. First degree. I won't take it. I'll tell him, say, Alhaji Aliko, may the Lord bless you for your good heart. When we need the money, we'll let you know. Is Harvard bad? No. Let's get my point. Is it a good school? I hope it is. All right? I want to assume it's a good school. Why am I not jumping at it? It's simply because I don't know the advantage it will confer upon my son. That will outweigh the disadvantages of me sending him off to a godless environment at that age. I can't find the advantage. We'll talk later when he wants to start postgraduate. I'm not saying it's bad. Maybe as a man, when I say, yes, you are now ready to be shot off as arrows. Now you can go anywhere. I can send you to Sodom and Gomorrah, but I won't be afraid. But right now, no, you never reach. You have not yet graduated to the level where I can let you go. Now, why am I talking about this? It's simply because the value you claim you are bringing in, I can't see it. Not because it is bad, but because I understand that what he really needs is righteousness and justice and a blessing. I will tell him, Elijah, you that wants to give the scholarship, where's your Harvard certificate? Where is it? You got this far without it. Don't worry. He will get beyond this level without it also. And don't forget, you talk about Harvard. Harvard people study other people. Mike Murdock said it once, that Mary Kay is a subject in Harvard. She did not go to college. Maybe she went, I don't know, but she was a business person. Henry Ford is a subject in Harvard to study their business methods. I'm going to explain something here. What marks us out as believers is not that we go to church. It's our value system. And the choices we make because of the value system. The way we look at our lives. You are doing business. You know, look, this business is not about making money. I'm not here to compete with anybody on who is the richest man in the world, who is the richest black man in Africa or in the whole world. That's not my reason. My reason is that, listen, I am the light of the world. I must shine light into this particular area. My focus every day is how much light am I shining? I'm talking to people who work with me in the office, as an employer. We're having issues in business. Okay, how do we handle this? They say, we can do this way. We can talk to this man and beg this man and sell this portion to him. And I say, but that does not give our God any glory. I hope you're getting my point. He said, but we said that the way this man does business is ungodly. Why do we want to now bring him into our business now because we're in distress? We are saying that our God is not able. Remember, we discussed the fact that God was called the God of Isaac, the fear of Isaac. I said, listen, there's a God I fear. So I don't make such business decisions. I was reading this man the other day. Strive, Masiwa. He said he had a major dispute with one particular company. So they went for arbitration. And among the rules of arbitration, you have to do maximum disclosure. That is, all communication between them and that other company must be disclosed. Everything must be kept open for the people to see. Assuming, now, I didn't give figures, but assuming they were claiming that those guys breached contracts and those guys were supposed to pay them like $10 million. So those guys said, "Na lie, we are not going to pay." So those men presented their papers, they presented their own, and they were going for meetings and all of that for the proceedings. He said one day he got to work, and his men showed him a bundle of emails that if they tendered, the judgment would go against them. Strive, Econet. He said he looked at the emails. Now, listen, he felt he was right, but maybe the other people had hidden some things. That's not making the case so clear. But if he presented these emails, he couldn't prove the other guys were hiding anything. But if he presented these emails, he's lost the case. So he sat down with his men, what do we do? They agonized over it. Finally, he made a decision. He told the lawyer, present everything. What if we lose? If I perish, I perish. What's most important is that I do what is right. So he carried the whole papers and they presented. He said, when the other lawyers saw it, the people on the opposing party, they were shocked. Now, these papers were supposed to make Strive and they couldn't lose the case. But when the other men saw it, they were taken aback. That what? This guy brought these papers? So they asked for like a recess. They went there, talked to each other. After some time, they came back. He said, till today, I don't know what they discussed. They just came, apologized to the panel, and decided that, all right, they are dropping their challenge of the case and they are paying the people all the money they asked for. He said, why they did it till today, I don't know. Maybe they decided that, something else is coming up, he does not know. All he knows is that he told his lawyers, this is an indictment against us, but it is the truth, let's let them have it. And when they allowed them to have it, he was ready to lose this money, bye-bye. We have lost this case. To his surprise, those guys withdrew their defense. I said, all right, they're asking for $10 million. I don't know the exact figure. They didn't give figures. I'm just the one putting $10 million just to be able to illustrate. He said, they asked for this money. Give it to them. Why they did it? By the time he was writing that blog, he said he did not understand. But he stuck by what he knew to be right. That's what marks us Christians. It's not we go to church. That's what I keep on saying. It's not we go to church. It's not we go to church. In church, we go to learn what to do in practical terms outside. What marks whether we are believers or not is how, that is, and listen, these things, like I said on Tuesday, when we're looking at the book of Colossians, chapter 3, that Paul said, focus your eyes on the things that are above. Is where our eyes are focused on that decides how we make decisions every day. It's as we make those decisions that we are bringing light. That's my emphasis for today. Listen to me. The whole world lies under the power of darkness. Darkness is upon the surface of the deep. Our nation today, let's get practical, please. Sometimes I try not to talk too much about Nigeria because people listen to us from everywhere, but maybe they'll take lessons from our country. All right? Our nation today, darkness is everywhere. The major problem we have today in Nigeria, all right, is the fact that the church is not shining enough light. There was a man the other day, he's campaigning to be governor in a particular state, not too far from here. And they bragged about the fact that he's a pastor. And I lifted my voice and I begged God to make sure he loses that election. They are disgracing us everywhere. And they are supposed to be the ones representing what the church represents. Listen to me. That is a problem as a nation. Because darkness, let me say it like this, is normal with us. With all this noise you are making, I hope you know we are one of the best African countries. Oh, I hope you know. Oh, they abuse Nigeria every day. Go, go to Congo. Kabila. Go and meet Joseph Kabila. That country is bigger than Nigeria, I hope you know. Oh, they have a huge landmass. Their landmass is massive. They are not as big as population as Nigeria, but the landmass is frightening. Believe me, if you have natural resources, they get too. But spiritual resources, let me not say anything more than that. Look, all this noise I'm making, we are one of the best African countries, that is, Black Africa. We are one of the best. They say that Nigeria's bad generator. The thing is because we don't have light. It's because we have money. There are people who don't have light. They are in darkness. Ogusho, lantern, that they use every day. When they see a Nigerian, they treat them the way you treat Americans. As those who have gone on mission, you know what I'm talking about. I love Nigerians. Father God, I worship you. It's effect of light, too. So this gospel we have preached. We have not preached it well enough, but the little we have preached, it has done some things for us. If we can talk about ourselves like this, you can imagine what your brethren are suffering. That's what I'm trying to say. You can imagine what your brethren are suffering. The problem, this is where I'm going. Let me sit on my message. The problem we actually have is simple. Listen, there is no blessing out there. The land does not have a natural blessing. The race does not have a natural blessing. The people don't have it. They are servants of servants. If white men did not come, the land would be worse than it is today. Let's just get that one clear. What is the hope? What is the way forward? That's my message. The hope is that the church will arise. They are the ones that are downloading blessing. The blessing that is flowing into the continent is flowing through the church. It's flowing through the church. It's not flowing through any other place. They are the ones praying for the land. They are the ones declaring good upon the land. You may see a man like Dangote building refineries. Listen to me. It's not him. There is none good but God. It is a blessing that people have prayed into the land. There are those people, some of us have said, listen, God, you have sent us. I told you before, I wasn't born in Eastern Nigeria. Then one day the Lord said, in effect, let's summarize it, arise, get down to Enugu and start preaching from there. Once I thought about it, what is he trying to do? He said, there's a kind, listen, blessing must ooze into a place by virtue of the word of God that's coming into the place. He said, there's a kind of word I need the place to hear. So that development of the type that they haven't seen before we come. Now you get down there and start talking. When we're coming, people say, hey, you know you're not an Igbo man. I said, what difference does it make? Was Joseph an Egyptian? That was my question. We say jokingly in my office, God don't bless you for this land. I say, yes, I'm a blessed man. I tell them, I say, listen, I came alone. My wife and I just married when we came to town. If we want to pack like Joseph today, you know how many of us go come out? Are you getting my point here? People said that, look, if you go down, I said, well, they said that, you will soon run away when you get visa. I said, that's very foolish talk. Between Lagos and Enugu, which one is closer to America? No, we had those discussions. If I feel swim, not be Atlantic with this. I said, but listen, it is not about what are you going to get when you get there. It is that go there and go and deposit something. That's the only hope. That's the point I'm making. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. That is, those who have heard the word of truth, they get up and deliberately go out and start shining. A man, a woman starts doing business, he now understands, listen, no, I'm not here to make money. That's not the primary thing. I'm here to shine. He enters into a university, starts teaching. So this is my career. I'm not here to make a name for myself. I'm here to do what? Shine. He becomes a politician. He understands, listen. We are not here to fight anybody for office. We are here to do what? Shine. God says, listen, my politician, make it a duty. That is, this is your focus. You will sit down, write down your own wisdom for salvation. You will make up your mind. You will never beg anybody. You won't make deals. You can make promises of righteousness. Are you getting my point? What I mean by promise of righteousness? I'm not making deals. I'm not undercutting anybody. I am not begging anybody. You will lose one election. You will lose the next one. Please follow me. I'm not saying that God says once you do that, you will start winning all the elections. No. God says, first, let me establish a name concerning righteousness in your life. I don't know what I get the point. So that the day I make you head of state, everybody will know how you got there. Because they will have seen you walk out. They say, just agree to this. And you will say to them, this is not righteous. And if you agree to it, you will have been guaranteed a seat in Senate. You will have been guaranteed that you will be the flag bearer for the next gubernatorial election for your party. Which means that your chance of winning, maybe because your party is dominant, is 70%. And you said to them simply, no guys, you don't understand. What you are asking me to agree to is wrong. Say, God will not make you win. No. They remove your name. And that's it, you're gone. Sometimes you fall out of that party entirely. But God said, you don't get what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm doing. I want to first establish a name. A good name is better than political office. So when one day, they find out that you have become a governor, you have become the head of one major, maybe you're a minister or something, or you are now actually one day the president, everybody knows without asking you. They said that man did not break any rule of God to get there. And God said, that's all I wanted to do. You know what that means? Listen to this. It means politicians that are coming after you, we know that it's not only their method that works. I hope you're getting my point here. Suddenly what you are doing, that you have created a new habit of righteousness for the land. Then the land now has hope for good governance. Because what we have, you see men occupying senatorial seats, empty heads, retired drug dealers. You know what I'm talking about. Murderers. So Christians now say, this is bad business. A Christian should not be found in politics. God said, no, don't say that. I'm saying, arise, shine. Your light has come. What is your light? Understanding. What is light? Revelation of God's purpose. What is light? Now that you know that you're not alone, there's grace working with you. So now that you know all of that, arise and shine. Let me ask you a question. What effort does salt, because he said you are the salt of the earth, I want to use this as an example. What effort does salt put in to become to becoming tasty? None. He's just salty because it is salt. What does it take for light to shine? Well, sir, what else can I do if I'm light? Are you getting my point here? The reason why light does not shine is simple. It's not on the lampstand. It's under a bushel. Do you get my point? That's the reason why it's not shining. It's not on the lampstand. It's under a bushel. What am I going to say? That's the problem with many Christians. I remember those days. I gave one illustration on radio when I was teaching. When Dora Akunyili was, when Transparency International took Dora Akunyili, our NAFDAC DG that time, in South Korea, they gave her an award, one of those prestigious awards. And I remember I said something. I said, if that woman was in America, she ain't getting no awards. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Why did she get her award? Simply because she was a place where there was plenty of darkness. And she just said, please, guys, enough of fake drugs in our markets. And she just went normally. They tried to kill her. One day near Nsukka, they fired, that is, one of the bullets passed through her scarf. But God kept her. That is, she just decided to do what? Shine. There was nothing. She was just being normal. If she was a normal person who would have gone the same way, would never have known the name. No matter how righteous she was, if she had become a professor in one Canadian university, that Transparency International Award would never have come. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. That is, for believers, God is not saying, listen, do anything extraordinary. Just get up, go to where I open doors for you. Do not have this idea of I must make it. Listen, I must build a house before I start ministry. God said, do it, I will break it down just to make a point to you. Yeah, you know God frustrates people. I've seen people say that, look, once I start my business, I will not go into ministry. God says, start now, let's be looking. Start now. Say, no, when you're in ministry, so that money will be coming from the business. God says, start now. 10 years, he's been trying to build up the business, has not worked. God says, you're getting older. This is a ministry you will never start it to. No, I've seen people like that too. They'll be telling me those days, no, ministry, before I go in, I must make sure. The person I have in mind, God forgive me. I start today. He told me this thing 20 years ago. 20 years. Till now, nothing. I hope you're getting my point here. Because, listen, I open the door for you, step in there, and just start being your righteous self. Don't be afraid. If you have a call to political ministry, are you getting my point? Don't be afraid. Start. When they're having a meeting, I say, now we are going to steal the money. Say, no. Say, leave. When they say, for us, for you to be able to contest for this, you say, I bought my form. This is my form. You need to see this person and come to this agreement. I am not doing. Why? Because God is the ruler. He lifts up one, brings down another. I have prayed to him. If it's my time, I'm going in. When God wants people to fear you, you know the kind of thing he does? Should I tell you? One guy will swear, say, you will never go anywhere. You're going to die tomorrow morning. So next time you come for a meeting, everybody with a shift, you won't know why. You will see that like this, you know that two seats beside you, empty, on your right, on your left, empty. Guy sits around the rest, and I say, okay, this morning's meeting, they are talking. He said, first, let's observe a moment's silence for, you say, for who? He didn't hear, no. Chief Susan, so, he died yesterday. Your mind, he said, I won't go anywhere. He has gone somewhere. On the surface, just say, don't laugh. The Bible forbids from laughing when it happens. Say, oh, no, let me tell you the truth. When that happens to you two times, every man will fear you that time. Then when they say, come for a meeting, say, let us pray. They say, Pastor, please pray. Just know you have made it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Let me close so we can go. All right, let me close so we can go. What's the point I've made today? Listen to me. For me, the most important thing is for us to know. Turn to your neighbor. Say you. Turn to another person. Say you. Turn to somebody else. Say you. Turn around. You are the source of light for this earth. Are you getting my point? Yes, God wants to bless. Let me get practical again. God wants to bless our country. He said, you will start your own business, and you will do it in righteousness, and you will do it with downloaded heavenly wisdom. Amen. And because of your heavenly wisdom, progress will come. Amen. Then those who were in darkness, they will learn light from what you are doing. Amen. And that is the source of progress for any land. Listen to me. The African man has no other blessing to look up to, but that one which is available only in Christ. That is why we must get up and preach. That's why we must get up and tell the truth. And that's why we must get up and do what? And shine. Let's bow down heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's just give him thanks again today. We have a mission. We have a ministry. Every single one of us. What's our mission? Is so we will shine. So that men who are doing wrong things, because of our presence, they will learn to do that which is right. That's what Christianity is. Shine the light. That light is to tell men what is right to do. God said that until they learn it, they will not do right. And the blessing that's found because Jesus has removed the curse will not be manifested in their lives. So Lord, thank you because you have given me light. Say, light shine, for your own light has come. Darkness may cover the earth. Gross darkness may cover the peoples. But upon you, the light of God, the light of Christ has shone. He said, now you arise and shine. Say, Lord, thank you for the grace to shine. Thank you for light that you have given me. Thank you because I'm no longer walking in darkness. Give him thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we give you thanks. We worship you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for what you have done for us in Christ. Nobody listening to me, Lord, in this message will die average.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your own ministry will shine forth.
Amen.
Remember, ministry does not mean you are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You may be, but ministry is anything that God places under your hands for you to do. In that place, you will shine for divine wisdom.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Joseph downloaded the wisdom to store grain for Egypt, and he preserved a whole nation from famine. Not a whole nation, two nations, and many more. We know of Egypt, and they will know of Israel, and all that people that came from around, one man's wisdom. Your wisdom will cause your environment to develop in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your wisdom will cause your family to prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your business will prosper.
Amen.
Now listen, there is something you will start learning. Let me tell you something. God wants to do something new through your hands. I have one word for you. Be bold. What did I say?
Be bold.
Yeah, be bold. That's one word for you. God will do something new through your hands in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In ministry, God will do something new through your hands in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Look, we will have had, you know, sometimes I think about it. Thank God for the wisdom that God gave us in Kingdom World Ministries. Because of all our materials that are just out there, people are just downloading every day. I realize that if for any reason we have tried to put a price tag on it, it's not as if it's a sin. But there have been a lot of limitations to the advancement of the truth that we are preaching. Listen. There is something that God wants you to learn. Just do it, study differently. And your ministry will move to another level. Your business will move to another level.
Amen.
That wisdom you will receive in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will come to you in the dream of the night. You've heard of Kekule's structure for benzene. The man fell asleep. That's spiritual manifestation. God will speak to you in your dreams in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A friend will come to you like Jethro came to Moses. And he'll say, that thing you are doing is not good. There was a time I thought I needed money. I was in my friend's office. He just made a statement, and that was God's wisdom that delivered me from what into these terms will be counted in at least a million, 1.5 million naira, just by a word of wisdom. A friend will come to you and give you wisdom in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This land, you will not be poor.
Amen.
They may tell dollar is going for 500 naira. Please don't ever even think about it. Don't worry. If it moves up, if it moves down, it's to your advantage.
Amen.
Yes, I'm telling you the word of God is to your advantage.
Amen.
Good will come to you.
Amen.
You will shine as light.
Amen.
Because of you, listen, because of you, something great will happen in this land.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor, preach with me to somebody. Just preach to somebody. Okay? Tell the person in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
you are totally free.
You are totally blessed.
You are totally forgiven. You have been made a blessing.
God's light is shining in you.
God's light is shining from you.
God's light has shone upon you.
Tell the person, arise,
shine.
Your light has come.
This is the season of your manifestation.
Listen, tell the fellow like this. Poverty has been broken. Please, let me just say this. Can you give me a few seconds? When I talk about poverty, it's lack of productivity. That's what I mean. It's not about having money. It's about whining and grumbling and complaining and saying the reason why we're not going by is because the president. I know. That's what I call poverty. Poverty is first a mindset. Are you getting my point? You have prospered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Tell that person again, say, poverty has been broken in your life.
You are a blessing.
Whatever you put your hands to do,
it will prosper.
Say that one again. Whatever you put your hands to do,
it will prosper.
Say, put it to do something.
It will prosper.
Say, God will give you ideas.
You will prove to the whole world
that there is a blessing in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a time they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They said, come and see. Tell your neighbor, your friend that you're holding here, say, it is you they will come and see.
They will come and see you.
From your family,
they will come and see you.
No matter the name they have called you,
they will come.
And they will see the glory of God.
Glory of God.
Father, we give you thanks. I bless you with God's blessings.
Amen.
As you go, it is well with you.
Amen.
In your coming out and in your going in, it is well with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil shall befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, if you are coming for the first time, please look into a piece of paper around you. Want to share the grace? We believe that we are the deepest of the cults and the highest of the cults. Amen?
Amen?
Yes, that is, we have the mysteries of God with us. The power of the Almighty is working in our lives. We drink blood. If you're a blood drinker, give me a loud amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We drink blood. We also eat flesh. Yes, that's what Jesus said. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there is no life in you. We eat his flesh. We drink his blood. So we are real flesh eaters and blood drinkers. We are in the cult of Christ. And as part of that, we have incantations. When we open our mouths, the words that come out, they release power. They carry power. They have effect. That's why we use the words with care. That's why we just don't tell somebody, go to hell. He may actually go to hellfire. Are you getting my point? Yes. If you don't like the man, say, please step aside. That's better. You tell him, go to hell. The guy is going somewhere bad. My God. All right. The Lord is good. So our words are powerful, and we use them with power. Let me just remind you again. When you are going to work, you get to your office, bless your office. You are going into your car, never call your car this old car. I will soon change it. Look, why are you cursing the car? Somebody else may drive it after you. Are you getting my point? Thank God for the car. Enter, you say, Father, I thank you. I don't have to trek. This car is taking me from one place to another. That's it. Bless your house. Now say, my mates are not living here. Some of your mates are under the bridge. Do you get my point? It's true now. It's true. So thank God for the house. Some of them are in prison. Some of them are sharing 10 in a cell. Are you getting my point? So thank God for it. At least the key is with you.
The key is with you. There's a roof over it. The sun shall not smite you by day. It means you have a roof over your head. That's what it means. So give God thanks for things. Or that when you pronounce words with thanksgiving, you'll be amazed at the great things that God will do for you under those circumstances. That's a matter of fact. So let's use our words with power. Are we ready? So let's share the grace in fellowship. 1, 2, let's go. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season. As usual, bless somebody beside you. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. Bless another person. This is your season of fruitfulness.